After this, I've been thinking a lot over the last several months, probably. I've been thinking a lot about milestones. And today, of course, is Super Bowl Sunday. And it's Super Bowl 50. Okay, good. All right. Yeah, that's 5-0. So I'm glad that that's not your priority today. Today's Super Bowl 50. And that's a milestone, isn't it? It's a big deal. Super Bowl 50 is a big deal. It's such a big deal that they made a massive change, didn't they? What was the major change that they did for the Super Bowl this year? No Roman numerals. You know, they didn't apparently want the winners walking around going Super Bowl 50. You know. I saw last night $3,000 was the cheapest on. Not that I was looking, I just saw it come across the. Yeah. $2,500. I think the 30-second ad spots are up to like $5 million this year.
It was only $12 the first Super Bowl.
Really?
$12.
Tell me you don't remember that.
I remember hearing.
You remember hearing about it? That's right. It's such a big milestone, the Super Bowl 50, that they were willing. I mean, they've had Roman numerals all the way up to this. They were willing to change their brand, in a sense, because this is such a big deal. All of the decorations, of course, 50 is the golden anniversary, and so the 50's in gold. They're out in California where the 49ers, because of the gold, they've got this whole gold theme going on because of Super Bowl 50. It's a big deal. They were willing to change branding. They were willing to make their decorations fit this entire thing. They were willing to change or make the location fit this entire thing. They are completely bought in to this major NFL milestone, Super Bowl 50. And it's basically driving everything that they do and leading up to today and today, and you'll be hearing about it all day. And if you're watching the game, I'm not really going to watch the game. I will probably be in the room while the game is on because, you know, the house is going to be so noisy with the game on. I'm not going to be able to actually accomplish anything worthwhile. So I'll probably be in the room. And of course, Sarah Lynn is from Denver, so she'll be rooting for the Panthers. I mean, That other, just as she walked into the room, go figure. All right, there we go. She'll be rooting for her beloved Broncos, and that's the last thing that we're going to say. Nope, not going to get into any arguments about that because I don't care. I really don't care. Really don't care. Really don't care. You know what? Even the commercials, I just don't even care anymore. It's just not a big deal. Not to me anyway. Yeah, and some people, that's fine. I'm not saying if you like it, that's not a big deal. But I've been thinking, as we've been leading up to Super Bowl 50, even over the last couple of months, I knew this was coming. I keep a calendar, what are the major events coming up over the course of the year, and you know, as far as the teaching calendar and everything, and this, you know, Super Bowl 50 has been looming on my calendar. You know, what do we do for, and I've been thinking about milestones, and it just so happens that this year is a major milestone year for me personally and my family as well. And so I just thought I'd share a couple of these major milestones that we're celebrating just personally. And some of you'll think back, oh, I remember that milestone. And some of you will be like, oh, you know, I'm not there yet. You know, I can't wait to get to that milestone. Maybe you'll think about that and say, yeah, that's not even anywhere on my radar. But you have your own things that you'll be celebrating. So this is just my list as far as what's going on. I turned 40 just a couple of months ago, and that's you know, a major milestone, you know. And some of you, you're like, man, that was like forever ago. And some of you are like, whoa, that seems so far away. You're so old. And you know, yeah, I know. People have been guessing. You know, I remember. I think it was my, 30th birthday or something. One of the people in the church said, so how old are you, 45? I'm like, really? Yeah, and Kelly, I wasn't gonna call you out. Kelly said 42 this morning. Anthony thought I was a little bit old. But same day, just to be fair, he was, you know, he and I, the guy and I, we shared a birthday. Our birthday was the same day, and so he was like you know, 150 or something. I don't know. And you can't count as high as he was. And so he guessed 45. I was, I think, 30 or something. And then one of the little kids came up to me and said, "Happy birthday. How old are you, 25? I'm like, "Well done. Well done." So I got the, well, yeah, right, yeah. That's right, yeah. So it's amazing the perspective that we have, depending on, you know, how far. So I mean, that, you know, 40 is a milestone year, isn't it? You know, you get that round number, and I remember when I was growing up, my dad and his siblings got together, you know, for their 40th birthdays, the gift of choice was was a cane, right, for the 40th birthday, and whoever had the 40th birthday last held that cane until the next sibling, and then they passed it down. And so, yeah, it was just the thing. In a couple of weeks here is my anniversary, and 19 years. So that's not exactly a, you know, a round one, but because we dated a year before that, Sarah and I have been together for 20 years now, and half of our lives we've spent together now, and so that's sort of cool. That's a milestone, you know. And thank you. This year, yeah, nobody else cares. I mean, I'm just up here talking. I mean, it doesn't really, it just, you know. Yeah. Thanks. Thank you. I just stand up here and talk. People do their thing and then go home. I mean, it's just, you know. This year, in our family, we have our first high school graduate. And some of you can remember your first high school graduate. And that's this year for us, a first college student. It's also our last year with somebody in elementary school. Like, with this coming fall, all of our children will be junior high and older. You know, no more Treehouse Kids, no more elementary school. So some personal things. They all just sort of coincide on this year. From a more professional level, I'm celebrating 14 years in this role as a pastor in this church, which is okay. I'm never going to get through my notes if you do. I mean, just that it happens from a church standpoint. This is the longest that anyone has served as a pastor in our church's history, and so you know, you're stuck with me for a long time apparently. So you know. Yeah, until further notice. That's what, you know. So I'm the longest serving pastor in the history of our church at this point now, and that sort of a great milestone. It just, you know, fits in this year. I plan to finish my master's degree this year. I hope, if I actually buckle down and finish it. I've been working on this for 10 years now. You know, the school's getting tired of me. And you again? I mean, come on. You know, it's one of my life goals, something that I've wanted to do for a long time. And, you know, if I can finish that this year, that'll be a major milestone in my life. Maybe start my doctoral work, another life goal of mine, just something I want to do. I've written in the past. I've got one book published, and I've written some journal articles and stuff. And by the end of this year, I may have three more books ready for publication. And so these are things that are personal to me and personal to my family. And some of them, like I said, you couldn't probably care any less about than you do right now. And if you never heard them before, that you wouldn't care any. And that's fine. That's fine, because they're not personal to you. You've got your own milestones. And it's just, these are things that I've been thinking about, and things that just, they're coinciding all together, just sort of compounding on this year. And as I thought about milestones in general, in a former job, I used to travel a lot. I loved to travel. Sometimes, a lot of times I would fly, sometimes I would drive. And I would look, especially when driving, I would look at mile markers. Do you ever spend time looking at mile markers, or is that just me? Yeah, that's what I thought. Just as some of you look at mile markers and milestones in general can be very, very big. They can be very, very small, can't they? You know, when you cross a state line, that's a big, you know, if I'm driving south, you know, welcome to Kentucky. It's like, that's a big deal. You know, welcome to Tennessee, welcome to Georgia, welcome to Florida. thank you. I'm so glad to be here. You know, please keep me. Just welcome to Florida. The big state, you know, those are big things. You know, they take hours sometimes to go from one to the next. It's, you know, driving hundreds and hundreds of miles. A couple of years ago, my brother moved down to Warsaw. He's leading a church down there. I've made that trip more in the last couple of years, I think, up and down 31 to Warsaw, over to 30, probably in my entire life. And so I started looking at mile markers, you know. And I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but up and down 31, at least that stretch, the mile markers are every half mile. Every half mile. Now, that's a lot shorter than state lines, right? You know, that's even, well, half, as, you know, twice as many as mile markers, because they keep... But when I was traveling around a lot, I also noticed that there were some highways that had them every tenth of a mile or every two-tenths of a mile. They must not have had anything to do. You know, too much metal, got to put up a stake. You know, way too much money in that state, apparently. You know, just we're going to put a mile marker every tenth of a mile. And so I've got an odometer that does that for me. Thanks. You know, it's just, you know, and milestones can be big, big, big things. Milestones can be tiny things. And milestones are personal. I've got mine, you've got yours. But here's the thing that I've come to, just as I've meditated on this and I've thought about this for several months now. Milestones don't matter in two reasons. Number one, milestones don't matter if I don't know where I'm going. And milestones don't matter if I don't know where I am or come from. Right? Milestones don't matter. You know, I want to drive to Chicago. Like, I like going to Chicago, so get up on the toll road and head off on the toll road, and all of a sudden I see this huge milestone. Welcome to Ohio.
Oops. Go all the way around the world.
Yeah, that's what I did. All of a sudden that milestone. I mean, it's important because it told me something, but it did not accomplish what I wanted it to accomplish. I wanted to see the welcome to Illinois, not the welcome to Ohio. I got on the wrong way. I didn't know where I was going. Maybe didn't milestones don't matter if we don't have a plan. You know, if you're just going out for a stroll, well, we don't look at the mile. Who cares, right? Because I'm not trying to get anywhere. If I'm just going off, if I don't know where I'm going, and if I don't have anywhere to go, milestones really are just like, oh, it's a sign. Okay, big deal. Milestones matter when they help us find our destination, when they keep us on track. Milestones matter only if we have a destination in mind, and we have a reason or a goal to stay on purpose. And so, as I thought about milestones, I thought, you know, a milestone means that I'm accomplishing or I've accomplished something. Milestones mean that I'm going somewhere. Otherwise, it's just a sign. And I thought about Jesus. And, we're going to be celebrating communion here in just a little bit. And we would tend to think, you know, what was... When we think of Jesus' milestones, of course, we think the death and the resurrection, right? But go to John chapter 17, because I want to start there this morning, and then we'll head over to 2 Peter. John chapter 17. We're going to look at verses 4 and 5. And verse 4 is our memory verse this morning. This is the thing that I would love if we would all memorize. We would be able to say at some point, this is one of the things that I look forward, I hope that I will be able to say at one point. Jesus is in the garden. He's left the upper room with the 11 disciples who are going to be his apostles of the church. And they went to the Garden of Gethsemane where he was going to pray. And he left them at one location and he went on a little bit further. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us just a tiny little bit of his prayer, but John fills us in on the much longer prayer. And that's found in John chapter 17. And I just want to look at two verses near the beginning. He's praying to the Father. And in verse 4, Jesus prayed this: I glorified you on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now think about that for just a second. I glorified you on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. We would be inclined to say, now hold on a second, Jesus. You haven't completed it yet. Talk to me Sunday and then we'll see if you've completed your work. You know, this is still late Thursday night, early morning, early hours of Friday morning. There's been no arrest yet. That's coming later. There's been no beating, no torture yet. There have been no trials yet. The cross, he's not been put on the cross yet. He hasn't hung there. You know, seven final words. He hasn't died. It is finished. He hasn't been laid in the tomb. Hours haven't passed. It hasn't been Sunday morning. There is no he is risen. All of the stuff that we associate with Jesus' great accomplishment, he's not there yet. He's hours and even days away now from the resurrection. And yet he said, I'm done. I'm done with the work you gave me to do. See, he wasn't talking about the cross, the crucifixion and the resurrection at this point. Because if we were to spend our time and go through the rest of John chapter 17, we find that the context tells us that he is thinking about the preparation that he has done in the lives of these 11 men who are going to start, found this new thing called the church. And he said to the Father, he said, that part is done. See, when we think of Jesus' milestone, we think of, you know, crucifixion, resurrection. Jesus didn't just have one. Jesus stopped to celebrate milestones. On the cross, he would say, it is finished. That piece. But here, he said, I've been doing other work too. It's not like I've just been wandering around waiting for the cross. I have been working. And Father, you gave me, again, as we go through chapter 17, Father, you gave these men to me. And you tasked me with preparing them for the next phase. And I'm done. And you're glorified. I look forward, I hope. And last fall we were in Hebrews and we talked about not giving up and not quitting and staying on the path and staying on purpose. And I look forward, I hope, that I don't fall away and disqualify myself from ministry so that at the end, and I hope that this is your hope and prayer as well, so at the end we can say, Father, I glorified you. Not I glorified me. Not I have all these great things on my resume, on my bio. I've done all this wonderful stuff. But Father, I glorified you by completing the work that you gave me. Not the stuff I made up. Not the stuff I did because I wanted to. But you gave me a task. You gave me a family. You gave me a church. You gave me the particular skill set. You gave me whatever you gave me. And I just stayed faithful to where you called me. That's what Jesus said. And that's, I hope, I'll be able to say that one day, and you'll be able to say that one day. Father, I've glorified you because I've completed the work. But then he went on. He didn't stop there. In verse 5, he gave us another clue about milestones. And he said, and now, Father, glorify me at your side with the glory I had with you before the world was created. Jesus said, I left all of that behind for this period of time so I could accomplish the work, and now please restore me back to my rightful place at your side. You see, one of the things about milestones is that milestones cause us to ask questions sometimes, or should cause us to ask questions sometimes. Am I on the right path? What have I learned? What have I done? What have I learned? What should I have learned in this last session, in this last season of life? If I'm going to Chicago and I see the milestone or I see the state line that says, Welcome to Ohio, I'd probably better reflect on what I've learned. I learned I got on the wrong way and now I'm at a place that I never intended to be. And now I have to turn around, and there's time, and there's money, and there's maintenance on the vehicle, and there's car, you know, gas, and all of these things because I took a wrong path. Because I rerouted myself. Instead of going toward where I was supposed to go, I went somewhere else. And milestones sometimes can bring these questions up. Am I going in the right direction? Yes or no? Should I have learned something? What did I learn? What did I accomplish over this last... If I'm at Ohio, I've accomplished a lot of miles and still got nowhere. Hamster wheel, right? You feel that way in life sometimes? You're just spinning your wheels, a lot of energy, a lot of time, but you're not really going anywhere? Milestones can help, if we're paying attention, can help us say, hey, hold on a second, you're not going anywhere. Maybe we need to go on a different path. Sometimes milestones, though, are simply the clue that we need to transition into something else. Maybe it's a conversation, and somebody says, you know, have you thought about... It's like, I hadn't thought about that. And that's the beginning of a transition. We go somewhere else. We go to a different job. We have whatever. Because we're always, I mean, none of us is here forever, right? None of us. There's always somebody coming behind us in our jobs, in our families, there's always, we're never here forever. There's always a transition to be made. Some transitions we go through our season of life which make our transitions seamlessly. Some transitions are very, very difficult, aren't they? Sometimes they're age, sometimes they're physical related, sometimes they're job related, relationships, marriage related. Transitions can be easy, can be difficult, but every milestone points us to a potential transition in our life. And Jesus said, here is a major milestone. I've done what you've asked me to do. Now please let me transition into this new season, into this new stage. Around here, for the past year, we've been talking about the path. And the path is a tool to help us individually know Jesus better and love Him more. It's really what it comes down to. And as we know Him better and love Him more, we can help somebody else come along and know Him better and love Him more. And one of the things I like about the path, the way it's set up, is there are built-in milestones. And some of them are very, very obvious. At the moment we come to faith in Jesus Christ and we get started on the path toward Him, that's a major milestone, isn't it? Do you remember when you believed in Jesus? The very first time when you were saved, when He forgave you, when you became His, do you remember that? Not necessarily the day and the time, but do you remember that there was a point in time that you said, Jesus, yes, You're the only one who can make me acceptable to God. You're the only one who can forgive my sin. You're the only one who can cleanse me, who can save me. You are the only one. I can't do it. I've tried, maybe your prayer was. I've tried and I just can't do it. But there was a point in time where you were and now you are. And it's all because of Jesus, like we sang this morning. You remember that? That's a major milestone, spiritual milestone. Maybe a baptism is a major milestone. Church membership. We talked to Gary announced that we've got a membership class coming up 2 weeks from today. We'll have lunch. We'll have our class. Sign up on your connection card and put it in the basket on the way out. And we'll make sure that some of you have already signed up for that, and that's great. You put that on your connection card. Church membership is a milestone, local church membership. All in dedication. But some of them on the path are not big state line milestones. Some of them are incremental milestones. I studied the Bible today. Ooh, for some people, that's a major milestone. For you, that may be a major milestone. I've never really done Bible study before. I'm not in the habit of reading the Bible, and that's a major milestone. That's awesome. Milestones should be celebrated, no matter how big or small they are. You know, I've been stuck in this thing, and whether it's a sin or it's a test or a trial, I'm stuck in this thing. And for the first time, I actually won. I said no. I said yes. I persevered. I grew a little bit. That's a milestone, isn't it? That's good. That's spiritual growth as we walk the path toward Christ. And we go to 2 Peter, and I'd like you to turn there because we'll spend the next few minutes here. Because the path has these built-in milestones. If you've got the Bible in front of you, if you're using the Bible in front of you, it's on page 1369, because I have the same one. Pretty cool. And 2 Peter, all the way down to the end, almost to the end. 2 Peter chapter 1. I just want to start at verse 1 and work down through a few verses here. The letter is from Simeon, was his Aramaic name, Simeon Peter, a slave and an apostle of Jesus Christ. And he wrote to those who, through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, have been granted a faith just as precious, or maybe your translation says like ours. And he's referring to his faith in Jesus Christ. He said, "May grace and peace be lavished on you as you grow in the rich knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." He said, "I can pray this because his divine power has given us or bestowed on us everything necessary for life and godliness through the rich knowledge of the one who called us by his own glory and excellence." I've been quoting that verse for years. People say, "I need this, I need this, I need this. You know, I need to go to this therapist, or I need this counsel, I need this." And I say, but his divine power has given us everything necessary for life and godliness. There's a lot of stuff that we put into our lives thinking it's going to help us with life that actually detracts us from the only one who can help us with life, because his divine power has given us everything necessary for life and godliness. And the key is that it's through the rich knowledge or the full knowledge of the one who called us. See, the more we know him, the more we'll know his will. And the more we know his will for us, for our lives, for Christians in general, for the church, for this world, the more we'll obey. Well, theoretically, the more we'll obey, the more we'll be able to obey. The more we'll be able to choose to obey, the better we know his will. See, it all comes back to knowing him. The problem is, here's the problem with milestones. The problem with milestones is if the trip is too long, sometimes we get so caught up in the milestones we forget about the destination. We were in the car when our kids were little, you know, much smaller, driving to Florida. It's sort of a recurring theme, isn't it? Driving to Florida, and you get ready to cross over that bridge into Kentucky. You're going from Indiana into Kentucky. And there's the sign, "Welcome to Kentucky." And the kids are all like, "Yay, we're in Kentucky." And I'm like, "We've still got a long way to go to get to Florida." And they're like, "Yay, Kentucky." You know, they were celebrating the milestone, and milestones are worth celebrating. But the milestone isn't the destination. And the problem is that we can get so caught up watching the milestones that we forget the destination. And all of a sudden, it gets us off track pretty easily, doesn't it? Because if we're just watching the milestones, they're on every road. And it doesn't matter if we get off here. If we're not supposed to get off here, there are still mile markers, aren't there? Yay, mile markers. There's probably another state line over there too. Yay. Doesn't help us get where we're going, but there's mile markers. The key is to stay focused on the destination and let the mile markers help lead us there and help us get there. This is what he said in verse 4, Peter, "Through these things, he has bestowed on us his precious and most magnificent promises, so that by means of what was promised, you may become partakers of the divine nature." See, there is a destination. There's something that he wants us to accomplish, is become more like Christ. "Partakers of the divine nature after escaping the worldly corruption that is produced by evil desire." And so he says this in verses 5, 6, and 7. This is where the steps of the path. This is not a program. This is not something that we can just check off boxes. This is a lifelong process of incremental steps, most of them, as we loop through this process. This is what Peter said. "For this very reason, because he's given us everything necessary for life and godliness, because he wants us to grow in our spiritual lives and be able to participate and partake in that divine nature, becoming like Christ," which is God's ultimate goal for us. He says, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith these seven things." And our book explains what these seven things mean and what they are, and I want you to make sure that you pick up the book, but they come from this book. Let's never forget that everything in here is from here, and this is the one that matters. We want you to know this because this is a tool to help somebody else come to know Jesus better and love him more. But ultimately, we want to make sure that we are staying in the Scriptures because this is the very Word of God. So he said, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. There's an assumption of faith in Jesus Christ before we're even on the path. Excellence. And to excellence, we add knowledge. And to knowledge, we add self-control. And to self-control, we add perseverance. And to perseverance, we add godliness. That's where the very character of God begins to work and grow in us. And we are becoming like him. His ethics, his worldview, the way he sees things, we start to see things the same way, like him. To godliness, he says, add brotherly affection. That is within the confines, within the walls of the church itself, not just the local church, but the body of believers. And then to brotherly affection, add unselfish love, where the very love of Christ that is in us and the godliness that is being built up in us spills out over the rest of the world. Now, those are the eight steps of this process that we call the path. But I don't want to miss verses 8 and 9. We don't spend as much time here, but this morning as we think about what Christ has done for us and these milestones and these spiritual milestones, and we'll celebrate, of course, the one that we think of for Jesus, the big milestone, his death and resurrection, as we celebrate communion in just a couple of minutes here. But we have these milestones that he wants us to grow in as well as we become like him. And this is what he said in verses 8 and 9. If these things are really yours, these eight things, if you're truly a believer, if you're truly all in, if you are studying the Scripture and knowledge and you're obeying it in self-control, and if you're choosing to trust him in perseverance and godliness is growing in you and you're serving and loving your fellow Christians and then serving and loving the world as well, if these things are truly yours and they are continually increasing, they will keep you from becoming ineffective and unproductive in your pursuit of knowing our Lord Jesus Christ more intimately. See, that's the catch. We could get so caught up in the path that we forget that the path is just a path to a destination. It's not the destination. See, we're really good at this. Christians are. We're so caught up in doing the right thing. We're so caught up in serving. We get so caught up in obeying. We get so caught up in reading and studying and grouping and doing all the things that we know we're supposed to do that we mistake the milestones for the destination. And the destination is not the serving and the obeying and the loving. The destination is the pursuing of the Savior. And if we get caught up doing all of the right stuff but forget that we're pursuing him, we're not on the path anymore. We're not on track. He says, if these things are really yours and they're continually increasing, they will help us pursue him because that is the goal. It's not enough to know the Scriptures. It's not enough to be involved in every event. It's not enough to serve and to give and to attend and to group and to obey and have the best attitude and to love everybody and be in part of the community. That's not enough if we're not chasing the Savior. If we're not pursuing him, the rest of it just takes our eyes off the goal. And this is what he said in verse 9. Here's why. Because concerning the one who lacks such things, what is he? He's blind. A person who is not keeping an eye on the milestones to help push us closer and closer and closer to the Savior. He says essentially, spiritually, we're blind. He explains that. To say that is to say he's nearsighted. I know a little something about that. Very, very nearsighted. Have been my whole life. The Greek word is myopic. I mean, that's where we get our word, myopic. If I take my glasses off, you are the big bunch of fuzzes out there. Okay, good. Yeah, thought you were celebrating your fuzziness, you know, fuzziness. Yeah, I can't see anything clearly beyond about 6 inches from my face. I can't. Haven't for a long time. I have to have glasses all the time. I can't see anything. And Peter said, for a person who has the wrong focus, a person who, if we're not even willingly trying to stay on the path, if we're not trying to know him better and love him more, or if we're confusing the milestones with the destination, it's like walking blind or nearsighted through life. And if we were to try to help somebody else on the path, what would we call that? The blind?
Leading the blind.
Leading the blind. We wonder how it is that people can get so messed up in their Christian faith, and a lot of times it's just because it's the blind leading the blind. We think we're on the right track, but we're not really looking at the Savior. We're looking so closely right here, and we can't see because we're not really focused on who he is and what he's done. He says, listen, nearsighted, blind, because he's forgotten about the past or the cleansing of his past sins. You see, when we get our eyes off of the real destination, when we get locked up in what we want, when we get locked up in what our plans are, when we get locked up in forcing our will instead of God's will, when we get all locked up, or when we get focused on the milestone, it's like, okay, I have to obey today. Obey, 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 obey. Why? Well, because I have to. Obey who? Well, God, you know, the Bible, I mean, just whatever. I have to persevere through this test. Why? They said so at church. Persevere, it's on the bookmark. You know, persevere, you know. Why? If we get so wrapped up, Peter says, we'll actually forget our past sins and how we were cleansed. We'll forget where we came from. And we will be blind moving forward. And we won't be able to see. It's all about him. Anytime we substitute the destination with a milestone, we forget the big picture. And we get off track. Jesus' life didn't end on the cross. He rose again. But Jesus' ministry didn't end when he ascended to heaven. He's been ministering all along. And the communion that we're about ready to celebrate here, that reminds us of what he did on the cross for us, that actually has a milestone as well. Did you realize that? It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In verse 26, a lot of times when we're celebrating communion, we hit the verses leading up to this, and then we just sort of gloss over that one because, you know, we got to do that too. But I want to focus on verse 26 first. The Apostle Paul said, 1 Corinthians 11:26, every time you eat this bread and drink the cup, every time. Now, the Bible doesn't say when we have to do it. Never says. We do it a couple of times a year when we can make a big deal about it, when it can be a major focus of our service. And some of you are here and you've never celebrated communion here because it just so long goes in between. That's fine. Some people do it. Some churches I know do it every month, every quarter, every week. That's fine. The Scripture never says, ever, nowhere. But he said, when you do this, every time you do this, you proclaim the Lord's death. What are the last three words? Until he comes. That's a major milestone that we're looking forward to, isn't it? After he comes, there will be no more communion celebration because we will be communing with him forever. Jesus said, when I return, I will take you to be with me so that where I am, you will be also. Forever, we will never leave Jesus' side. But until then, It's like that state line that's way, way up there. We know it's coming. It's not the final destination, but we know it's coming. And so we're planning for it. We're getting ready for it. And right now, when we celebrate communion, we're saying there is an accomplishment. There is a milestone that we're looking forward to. And it helps us stay on track because He's coming back. And the question is, when He comes back, will He find us faithful? Will He find us wandering somewhere, not really caring about the path, not really caring about the journey, just, oh, we'll get there eventually. Jesus will make everything right. It doesn't really matter what we do now. See, our number one calling is to pursue Him until He comes. And I said that milestones sometimes require us to ask questions. And so here are three questions as the men get ready to bring in we use crackers and we use grape juice. Okay, it's not real wine, so if you have a problem with alcohol, some people do, never participate in communion because of alcohol, you don't have to worry about that here. Everybody can participate if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And they'll come in here in a few minutes and they'll hand out both and you take a cracker and you take a little cup of juice and then we'll celebrate it together, so just hold on to it. But when we do that, before we do that, as they're handing out these little things, here are three questions that I'd like you to ask yourself. Number one, have I ever placed my faith in Jesus alone for salvation? At Oak Tree, if you are a believer in Jesus, you can participate in communion. You don't have to be a member here. You don't have to be baptized. This is, in some churches, it's called the Lord's table. It's not Daniel's table. It's not Oak Tree's table. This is Christ's. And if you're a part of the body of Christ, you can come. Or participate, rather. But if you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, if there's never been a time where you said, I believe that you are the only one who can forgive me. You are the only one who can cleanse my sin. You are the only one who can make me acceptable to God, right with God. Then I challenge you during this time, just let the little tray pass. It's not a problem. Just let it pass. And maybe today you would consider that. You would think about that. Maybe today you would say, I'm believing in Jesus Christ for the very first time. And you can celebrate communion together with the rest of us as a brand new member of Jesus' church and Jesus' family. That would be awesome. Number one. Number two. Maybe you would say, yeah, I'm a believer. I've placed my faith in Jesus. But I've got something in my life. I've got an unconfessed sin. I've got a grudge. I've got something in my life that I am holding on to against God's will. You have two options. If we were to go through 1 Corinthians chapter 11, there were people in this church in Corinth that became physically ill, and God even took off the planet. They died because when they celebrated communion, they were doing it with a wrong heart, wrong attitudes. I'm not threatening anybody. I don't know what God would do. But the apostle said, don't participate in an unworthy manner. Don't participate with a wrong heart. And so maybe you are a Christian. You say, I've got something and I just can't let it go. And I just can't do that right now. Let the tray pass. It's okay. I would rather you not participate than participate in something with a wrong attitude and have this thing between you and God. Or maybe you say, I know I've got something and I need to confess that right now. And in a moment of quietness, you would confess your sin, you would restore your relationship with God, and then you would celebrate together with us, the rest of us. Number three, you say, I am a believer, I know everything's, I've got everything right now, I can participate, but sometimes I let my milestones get messed up with my destination. Sometimes I get my eyes off of that destination and I get so wrapped up in the immediate that I forget that it's really about pursuing Him. It's really about who he is and what he did, not about me, not about my life, not about... I try to take over instead of letting him do his thing. And so maybe as we pray quietly for just a moment here as they hand out these things, you would say, I need to make sure that I keep my eyes back on Jesus. Maybe you need to confess that today and put your eyes back on Jesus. Get back on the path. We celebrate communion today with our focus on him. Let's just have a moment or two, a couple minutes, just in quiet prayer. The men will hand out the cracker and the cup of juice, so keep an eye open as they come around. And then we'll do this, we'll celebrate this together in just a minute. Now, when Jesus did this, just hours before his arrest, it was over the course of a long meal. And so they did their thing, and they ate for a little bit, and then he did the bread, and then they ate and talked a little bit and went through their script, and then he did the wine a little bit later. We're doing it all together. So when it says that he gave thanks after or before each one, we're going to have just one. We're not going to pray twice before each one. And we're going to celebrate this together. But Jesus gave thanks. And when we come to celebrate what he did for us, I don't know why we would do anything other than simply give thanks. So we'll give thanks together, and then we will remember by taking the bread first and then the cup. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks. We think of songs like Amazing Grace, how you saved a wretch like me. Not even that you saved us through the blood of Jesus Christ, through his death and resurrection, but that you saved me, an individual person, not just a group of people, but individuals. And so, Father, this morning, as we thank you corporately, I also thank you personally. Thank you for loving me. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for saving me. We give you thanks this morning. Because as I've said multiple times this morning, there is no one else, there's no other way that we could ever become acceptable to you. We could ever become right with you. There's nothing we could do on our own. We are disobedient. We're sinful people. And you reconciled us to yourself. And so, Father, we come simply with a heart of thanks. In Jesus' name. Let's this do in remembrance of me. Let's remember. Afterward, he took the cup, said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this also in remembrance of me." Let's remember. For every time you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Looking forward to that day. One day Jesus is going to come back, and all those who know him as Savior forever will be by his side. I'm going to close in prayer, and our band will come up and we'll sing one more song. The song says, "Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow." And so we praise the one who paid our debt of sin. Let's pray, and then we'll sing.